This podcast is brought to you with limited interruption by Rudy Luther Toyota. Whether looking for an exciting brand new Toyota, a certified pre-owned vehicle, or getting quality routine maintenance and service for your vehicle, Rudy Luther Toyota is the place to go. Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show for your Thursday. Good to be with you today. Matt Patrick here. Alan Roy going to join us in the second hour. Alan is running for the brand new redistricted second district Senate seat up on the very northern border there. If you didn't see the story, one of the things that was interesting about redistricting is they put all three Native American tribes into one district. And it's going to basically, I mean, of course, the Republicans had tried to put individual tribes in individual districts to dilute the Native American vote. That district is a lean Dem district now up on the north and the range because of all three Native American tribes, basically the reservations now in that district. And Alan Roy is looking to get that for the DFL. We'll talk to him coming up here in the 5 o'clock hour. Right now, Rick Smith, if you're not listening in the evening hours, you're wrong. 8 to 10 o'clock right here on AM 950. It's the Rick Smith Show. He's kind enough today to join us to talk a little bit about the State of the Union speech, as well as also the way the Republicans attack Biden on inflation. Rick, thank you very much. Welcome back, my friend.
Matt, always great to be here, man. Thanks for taking time for me.
No, always, man. And you're always welcome on my show. Thank you, by the way, for airing a good portion of the State of the Union speech on the other night there on your show. That was very nice of you.
No, we put out the entire thing, did a little commentary around it. The audience liked it. We're going to do it again. We had never done that before, but it worked out really well. I was very happy with it.
I think, judging by the way the Republicans react to Biden and the fact that they frantically tried to do a pre-State of the Union speech, they did the post-speech multiple times. They basically made commentary during it like it was an MST3K episode, and they basically had all their hashtags and everything ready to go the next morning. The reason why they're so scared of him is that they have basically, the Republicans have built a winning strategy by finding Democrats, milquetoast Democrats, who are afraid to be Democrats. And when you look at Joe Biden and Barack Obama, they're not afraid to be Democrats, and the Republicans do not know how to challenge that because they need Democrats to be afraid to be Democrats. I think that's why Biden scares them so much.
No, and I think, look, the speech I thought Joe Biden gave was great. Mm-hmm. Look, at the end of the day, he provided a steady, calming, quiet strength that we need in this country, that this moment demands of us, a focus that we've desperately needed for some time, that we didn't have for the 4 years of the previous guy. And that's what scares them, because mainstream America, the working class of this country, they just want somebody who's going to get up every day and going to go to work for them. And that's what Joe Biden laid out in his speech. Look, it's about making lives better. It's about helping folks who he grew up with in Scranton. Those ham and eggers, those guys going to work with the jelly boxes. It's about making lives better, and they don't know how to respond to that. When you're loud mouths and their bombastic rhetoric and the chaos merchants throwing out their flames, that they can deal with, that they want. But someone who's going to get up every day and say, hey, we're going to help you take care of your kids. We're going to help get child care so that you don't have to break the bank. We're going to make sure that you're going to get some ability to get health care so that we make sure that if you get sick, you're going to be okay. Hey, we're going to do something to help you get better wages, hours, conditions by letting you figure out how to join and form unions. We're going to go back to the way things used to be to steal the other guy's rhetoric, when we pine for when America was great, mm-hmm. when you had the most prosperous working class in the history of civilization, because you had strong unions, you had strong families, you had strong communities. You didn't have oligarchs and billionaires running and owning everything, Matt. And you know this.
Oh, yeah. No, and he was up in Superior, Wisconsin, Duluth Superior, up on Lake Superior today, going across one of the bridges that I think has been pegged for his replacement with the infrastructure bill, a bridge you can't get across because trucks can't get across because of the concern about that bridge. And, you have these kind of things out there. These are bread and butter issues. These are good jobs. And these are obviously our safety issues. Trust me, in Minneapolis, we know about bridges collapsing. You have safety issues that you're addressing here. And to watch the Republicans just get so upset about this, it just shows me once again, the fact that they are flailing at him is that they're so angry because he's resonating because, like you said, he's Scranton, Pennsylvania. He's like the human personification of the Rust Belt himself.
Yeah, no, at the end of the day, look, it's about getting things done. And,
yeah.
And look, for a party that has told us they don't believe in government, they don't believe government can or should do anything, that government can't solve problems, that they shouldn't be doing anything to solve problems, they don't know how to deal with somebody who goes, hey, we got problems, let's fix them. Let's get our hands dirty, let's roll up our sleeves, let's get to work. They don't know how to deal with that. You know, all of the bickering and all the gridlock and the delay and all the things that they've been doing all these years, that's what they understand. And I think they're afraid of the fact that by Biden coming out and speaking very clearly, and look, Biden is not Bill Clinton as an orator. He is not, you know, Barack Obama as an orator. Nobody ever expected him to be. But he came out. He was Uncle Joe. He gave the speech. Did he trip up a couple of times? Yeah, he did. And you expect that. But you know what? He was on message. He was focused. And he was saying, look, this is what we got to do. We want to help move this country forward. We've dealt with the pandemic. We're dealing with a war overseas going on right now and a madman. And we're going to deal with all of our problems. We're going to do it. And what I loved most about the speech, Matt, is it was positive. Mm-hmm. It wasn't full of grievance. It wasn't full of, oh, everyone hates me. It wasn't the last guy. It was possible. It was, you know, when crisis happens, we pull ourselves up and we make the best out of it. We take those lemons and we make lemonade and we move forward. That's what I loved most about it, is that optimism that generation really had in their soul that I think we need in this day right now, Matt.
Rick, when you look at part of that, a good chunk of that speech and a good chunk of the news cycle for the last week and a half, it's been Putin in the Ukraine invasion. And, you know, one of the things which has been really interesting, and get your thoughts on this, is that the American people, we have been pitted against each other. It's left and right and left and right. And all of a sudden, we have the villain that, you know, you and I grew up in the 80s, you know, the Russians, yep, and stuff like this. You know, you had that villain that united us as a country. I'm starting to see that again. I mean, the Republicans initially tried to pander to Putin, but their own voters are like, no, this guy's horrible. You really do have a unification starting to happen again because pretty much everyone hates Vladimir Putin.
Yeah, no, this could be that moment.
Yeah.
And I've been saying for a while, there's got to be a moment, a spark that brings us back together to where we get, you know, somewhere between the curbs. You know, we got to get off the sidewalks throwing things at each other. We got to get back into the road somewhere. This could be that moment. You know, I had thought for a while it was going to be all the job losses with China and all the things going on there. But this is such an atrocity. This is such an outrageous moment that I don't know how you can be on the side of Putin. And there are some, look, there are some Republicans, and you and I both know, we get the emails, we get the, you know, the crackpots throwing stuff at us.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, average, everyday, you know, working-class Americans like you and me, we look at this and go, there's one guy, one rich guy, the richest guy in the world, who's sending poor and working-class kids from Russia into Ukraine to kill poor and working class kids there. That is wrong. It shouldn't happen. And we don't want any part of this. Because what we know is we know war kills poor and working class kids overwhelmingly on all sides of the border. But it makes rich people really, really happy. So I'm not thrilled with where we are. But in this moment, Putin's the blank. Fill that in however you must.
Well, you know, it's interesting. You and I probably both see this. You know, the Trump and his supporters still want to basically say, oh, well, if I was in office, this probably wouldn't have happened. Now, considering how much him and Vlad were close buddies, maybe you could say that, but they don't want people to associate Trump with Putin anymore. And so now he's trying to float the idea that he invented NATO. NATO would have loved him. I have loved the NATO people coming back and saying, oh, no, we hated his guts. Joe Biden did all this. He brought us back together again. And, you know, it is funny. They want to take credit for it, but the only way they can is if they say, well, because his best buddy was Vlad Putin.
Well, the part of this that gets me is, and I love how we rewrite history, don't we?
Yes.
If you look at what happened during the former guy's years, I seem to remember him spreading a, you know, the former guy spreading a ton of propaganda that Ukraine was, you know, was rigging the election for Hillary Clinton. I seem to remember a lot of that. I seem to remember him getting Maria Yovanovitch fired, which could have helped us, with intelligence and diplomacy. I seem to remember there was a phone call, a perfect phone call.
Oh, yes.
I remember where, you know, he basically holding aid hostage and, you know, in that moment, didn't have a White House meeting with Zelensky, turned Ukraine policy over to Rudy freaking Giuliani, and that guy was going to do something better. And, oh, by the way, let us not forget who the former guy's campaign manager was, Paul Manafort, who really is responsible for what was going on in Ukraine.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and let's not... Hey, Russia, I have a favor to ask of you. Oh, let's never forget that moment either. Rick Smith joining us. The Rick Smith Show is 8 to 10 o'clock right here on AM 950. You need to be listening to this show. It's absolutely fantastic. Inflation. All right. So this is, you and I both, we see this all the time. This is a multi-layered problem. There's a lot of things going on here. I want to ask you a question, though, on your thought on this theory, that the reason why the inflation has been so bad is because after 30 years of conservative policy keeping wages stagnant, people had finally had enough. And so to get people to work, they had to start paying better wages. And because of that, the corporate America is jacking up the prices left and right. Your thoughts?
See, I'm not going to go on the wage front. I'm not there yet.
You're
where
not,
I'm
okay.
at is corporate America is seeing an opportunity. This is what greedy capitalists do. There's a moment. There's an opportunity to pad our pockets, to increase our profits, because you haven't seen any earnings report going, oh, gee, we're losing money, have you? You haven't seen any CEOs going, hey, we got to take pay cuts. You haven't seen that yet, have you?
No.
Of course not, because they're using the pandemic. They're using this moment to line their pockets. And workers are getting a little bit of an increase, not as much as we should be. And if we had 25% union density in this country, we would be doing much better. But here's the thing. Our problems stem from, you know, 40 years of supply-side voodoo Reaganomics and horrible neoliberal trade policies. The fact that we can't get the things, and I think Biden touched on this in the speech, the fact that we can't ramp up production to meet needs and demands, that's a huge problem. And why is that? Because we've had 30 years of allowing corporate America to outsource our jobs to other places. And guess what? If you can't get what you need here to get on the shelves, that supply and demand thing kind of throws everything all haywire. Kind of like when I went to buy my Jeep last year,
mm-hmm.
and I had to wait a while because there were no chips. And there was no haggling on price either because, hey, there's two on the lot.
Exactly.
This is our problem. And you know, we've got huge supply chain issues. But more importantly, and this is where Biden, I love what he's talking about. The fact that he wants to bring manufacturing back, the plant going into
yes.
Ohio to make chips, the fact that we're going to make electric vehicles here and batteries and make this country the center of manufacturing again, that to me is the most important message outside of what's going on in Ukraine. Out of all of this is, you know, how do we make sure that we are that production center again?
Mm-hmm.
If the pandemic and what's going on in China and in Russia aren't giant flaming red balls of warning of, hey, this is a national security issue. We need to reclaim our manufacturing prowess. I don't know what is, Matt.
Well, okay, so, and by the way, and it goes back to what I said before, we built three foundries in this country and started putting out American steel again. I think that would go a long way to help out our manufacturing base, too. But how about then, okay, I'm going to rephrase that question for you, okay? Because investors on Wall Street treat Wall Street like it's Vegas, that a company making 20 cents on the share is not good enough. It had to be 25 because that's what they gambled it was going to be. So they punish the profitable company for not being as profitable as they said it was going to be. Do you feel that is then the main linchpin of where this is at? The feeling like you have to raise the prices because you're still trying to impress a bunch of gamblers on Wall Street.
Yeah, well, look, you know, we live our life by the quarter, don't we?
Yes.
I mean, everything is the next quarterly report. And we're competing with a country in China that they're thinking the next 100 years. They've got plans for 5, 25, and 100 years out. Now, granted, they're a much different government, much different way of doing things. But we're dealing with corporate CEOs who are thinking tip of their nose, how they can continue to line their pockets and that of their shareholders. They don't care about their workers. They don't care about you or me or consumers. You remember, I think about 2 years ago, when Jamie Dimon and the Business Roundtable had their little powwow. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
And they came out and they said, you know, now You know, it's no longer about only satisfying the shareholders. It's no longer about only maximizing shareholder wealth. We now care about our workers, and we now care about the consumers. And I'm going, wait a second. I thought they were sacrosanct. I thought they were most important to business. No, they haven't been, and they've been the dupe in all this. And the sad reality is until we, the working class of this country, wake up and hold them accountable, I don't know where we go. Because you said a moment ago, we're divided right and left. The sad reality is that's a construct that's been thrown at us. The reality is we're divided up and down. The very wealthy against all the rest of us. They just throw out that stuff down there to keep us pitted against each other, so we don't realize how badly we're getting ripped off.
Amen to that. No, I was in the grocery store, and you know, sometimes you like to pick up a recipe and it will say you need a 14-ounce box of something. And I noticed all of a sudden it wasn't a 14-ounce box, it's a 12.5-ounce box now, and it now costs $1.50 more. And I'm like, okay, someone's making some money off of this. I will say in Minnesota, which is unique, and this isn't everyone, but this is just the numbers, that Minnesota's incomes have raised, I think it was 8.1%, well beyond the 4.3% inflation rate. So I mean, in Minnesota, at least, when you look at the numbers, wages have actually started to catch up, and it's at least not as painful on the inflation in Minnesota as it is elsewhere, that's for sure.
No, and that's a good thing. And I would argue Minnesota's probably a state that's got a fairly high union density rate.
Yes.
I know back during the 70s, and I know my grandparents benefited from them, both of them. My grandmother was a retail cashier. My grandfather, who was a truck driver, both of their contracts had cost of living adjustments in the event of inflation. And they both got multiple raises during that contract to meet inflation. When you have union contracts that have that kind of language in, you don't have to worry about your wages being eroded by inflation. And this, is another reason why I go back to the need for strong labor unions and every worker in this country having a written contract. You know, you look at what's going on, you know, we've seen this little bump in wages, but it's not going to be long before that bump starts being taken back. We're already seeing those wages being clawed back as we speak. And as the inflation, you know, starts to calm down and we meet our supply chain issues, you're going to see those wages being rolled back even more. Now's the time. Join a union. Get it in writing. Have it in a contract and don't lose it. My thought.
Rick, what do you have coming up on your show tonight?
We're going to talk State of the Union. I got a bunch of stuff I want to talk about China. I don't know if you saw the View. I don't ever watch The View, but I saw Michelle Tafoya. Not a huge fan of hers, but a blind squirrel found a nut when she was talking about the Uyghurs and slave labor in China and the need to buy American products. And it was weird because the lefties on The View were, no, Americans won't pay those prices. It was the weirdest kind of reactionary, hey, you're on one side, I have to be on the other. And as Americans, we got to get past that right, left, I'm against you, whatever you say, I've got to be on the other side of. We got to listen to each other. We got to talk to each other. And we've got to actually have conversations, which is why I think what you do is so incredibly important, getting the message out.
Oh, Rick, I appreciate it. I will say this about Michelle Tafoya. I think she's going to run against Klobuchar for that Senate seat. And so she's trying right now to say, you know, kind of put forward. She says she's a libertarian. Okay, whatever. But she kind of comes out and she's trying to appeal to everyone right now. So keep an eye. I think this is what her goal is eventually she's going to try to run against Klobuchar in 2 years.
No, I mean, she's a crazy conservative, Karen. You know that. You can see it. I mean, it is what it is. But like I said, the blind squirrel eventually finds the nut, and
occasionally,
she found this one. And here's the weird thing, Matt, and I know we got to go here in a second, but you know, here's the weird thing. We're seeing the Republicans trying to make that pivot to talking about working class issues. And this is where Democrats had better, I've been saying, adopt a striker, find a strike line, find a worker to find out how life's going and fight for them. This is where Democrats had better wake up, because Republicans are starting to talk about some of those issues that working class people are worried about, jobs being on the forefront of it. You know, this China thing is a big deal that I think Democrats could miss the boat on.
Yeah, don't be fooled by Republicans talking about how they're pro-labor. Take a look at what happened in Virginia the second that Republican governor got into office there.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Rick Smith Show is live right here in Minneapolis, St. Paul, 8 to 10 o'clock right here on AM 950. Rick, always a pleasure. Thank you so very much. I appreciate the time.
Thanks so much, Matt. Appreciate it.
Take care. Rick Smith, The Rick Smith Show. Once again, if you're not listening throughout the entire evening here, it's just fantastic. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's The Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. Thanks for Rick Smith. God, outstanding. Outstanding. And, you know, it's Rick Smith, Joe Biden. I mean, you know, proud Democrats. Proud Democrats. And, you know, there is the thing, which is Republicans have built a system which, when you say it, you'd say to yourself, no Democrat would be that stupid to fall for it. But sweet Jesus, do they fall for this all the time. Republicans say, hey, if you just apologize for being Democrat, maybe, just maybe, 20 Republicans would think about voting for you. Hey! That's how they swear to God. It's the stupidest argument on the planet. No, first of all, the Republicans are not going to vote. Once again, all you need to know, they all voted for Trump again. The reason why Trump lost is that Democrats got a great, great turnout this time around, and that's why. They all voted for Trump. They saw exactly who he was. They voted for him again. Absolutely. That is who they are. So stop thinking you're going to be able to swing a few votes and all you have to do is sacrifice your entire Democratic platform because you're stupid enough to think that all the Democrats are going to vote for me anyway. No, they'll stay home. They'll stay home and say, why am I going to vote for this clown when they basically don't give me any reason to vote for them? Don't fool yourself. Be a proud Democrat. And for goodness sakes, the Democratic umbrella is so freaking wide, you can find something in there to brag about. Ag policy, business policy, education policy, health and human service policy, environmental policy. My God, there's got to be something there that you can sell. So instead of sitting there saying, hey, Democrat, do you want to be our Republic? We're all Republicans. You could be our friend if you just apologize for being Democrat. I'm so sorry. Why did we ever pass the Affordable Care Act? Oh, my God. We should apologize. I mean, God, it was so funny. It was so funny. About late November of 2010, late November after the Democrats got the cabooses handed to them that election, all of a sudden, all these same Republicans, or these seven Democrats who are out there the entire time is like, we should have never passed the Affordable Care Act. All of a sudden saying, why didn't we run on the Affordable Care Act? I don't know. Why didn't you? Oh, that's right. Because you were convinced by a bunch of Republicans that if you basically trashed what should have been a signature piece of legislation for the next 30 years, that you basically might be their buddy. And when Election Day came, they didn't want to be your buddy. And you ended up losing. And you end up alienating pretty much all your voters. And so you learned a lesson. Not so much. You guys keep doing it, don't you? This is why Joe Biden scares the living daylights out of Republicans. It's why Barack Obama scared the living daylights out of Republicans. He's not afraid to be a Democrat. And he's not looking to say, I'm a Democrat, but I want to work with the other side of the aisle. If that's the first word out of your mouth, shut up. No. Your first selling point as a Democrat shouldn't be how you're willing to basically sacrifice your own party platform and work with the other side of the aisle. Let me give you a better example. This is how you do it. Hey, I'm a Democrat. Let me tell you why I'm for food stamps, and especially food stamps when we can sell them here in Minnesota and use the farmers here in Minnesota as the suppliers for the food. Then all of a sudden, the farmer is getting paid, the hungry people are getting good quality Minnesota food, and the money stays local. That's a win-win across the board. Now, if a Republican wants to work with me to make that system better, I'm more than happy to work with them. But I will not sacrifice that system for any Republican policy. And scene. See how this is simple. This is simple. So once again, Democrats, I want you to remove something. I want you to do something to purge something from your entire campaign for the next year. Okay. And that is, I'm a Democrat, but I'm willing to work with the other side of the aisle. Shut up. Find something on the Democratic platform you can champion and say it just like I said it. You know what? I'm for clean water. I'm going to be for clean water no matter what. And that means I'm going to be against mining. Fine. Because I'd rather have clean water than a mine that basically all the products are going to go to China anyway. So I'm for clean water. And if the Republicans want to work with me on making sure water stays clean in Minnesota, I'm all for it. But I will not sacrifice who I am for a Republican Party. and scene. You see, it's easy. This is simple. Grow a freaking spine. Ta-da. And that's why they're scared to death of Joe Biden. Because Joe Biden's got a spine. And he is not afraid of them. As a matter of fact, if anything, considering their reaction to the State of the Union speech, they're terrified of him. Terrified of him. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Let's take a break. Come on back. The Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show, 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Gary is in Minneapolis. Welcome on in, Gary.
Yeah, I got a few things listed. I don't know if they all related, but that Rick Smith, he's really good to listen to. He talks about old issues like unions, jobs, and wages. I love listening to him. And I want to say something about these corporate trade deals. You know, first they went to the maquilador on the Mexican border with the auto industry and others, and then they went to China and other countries. So we were promised, Clinton made a deal with the Republican plan there, NAFTA, but anyway, we were promised, cheap cars and cheap, they get import them. Well, a new car is $40,000 a year, and the wages of the auto workers are way down from what they were. For the cost of living.
Oh, yeah.
Anyways, and Biden, I want to say something about him. He's the closest to a New Deal liberal since Kennedy and LBJ. Now, everybody remembers LBJ about Vietnam, but he got his civil rights and Medicare, and those are really crown achievements. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Gary. No, I would agree with that. He's a New Deal Democrat. And I'll throw in, I won't throw the age joke in there as well. I think he helped write the New Deal. No, he definitely is a New Deal Democrat. His point is actually spot on. I mean, Gary's point is spot on that they all, what was the thing? It's like, well, we're going to move our production facilities out of the country, but guess what, America? You're going to have dollar cars. Yeah, that's right. I know they're like, when they did this, it would be like $30,000 cars now, but we're going to move the entire production field. They're going to be like $10,000. It's going to be dirt cheap cars. That ever happen? Nope. 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 No, it didn't. And you know why? Because they didn't move the car's production out of the United States to a foreign country because they were going to sell cheaper cars. They wanted bigger bonuses for the executives. They wanted a 14th vacation home. They wanted a 27th jet ski. They wanted their third private jet. They wanted one of those monster oligarch yachts. That's what they wanted. And so they lied to you. And they lied and lied and lied. And the Republicans have, if you look at conservative economic policy towards businesses, especially the manufacturing sector, it has been coming out of both sides of the Republicans at the same time. I'm not going to say both sides of the mouth because what they're saying is, oh, we're pro-America. We want American businesses. But what comes out the backside is what they're really saying, which is, hey, corporate America, we're going to turn a blind eye while you ship all your manufacturing overseas. Just make sure you give us a big campaign check afterwards. The Republicans have applauded this. The Republicans vilified the unions that were trying to stand in the way of this. They vilified the blue-collar worker when this was happening back in the 80s. They went out and same thing for corporate farming. When farms were being consolidated left and right and farmers couldn't keep their own farms, they vilified the small farmer saying, it's your fault. You're the bad guy. They got the things out of the way because they were saying, well, if we can make these corporations so damn profitable that this executive class is basically our new royalty within the United States, well, guess what? They'll give us big checks or at least a big lobbying gig. My little boy Junior will be a senior executive by 25. That's really what's happened here in this country. And once again, I mean, I know Rick Smith disagrees with me a bit on the wages. I actually think that's a lot of the inflation right here. I mean, do we forget last year when people are like, I'm not going back to work. I'm not going to go work, 40 hours a week for crap wages with no benefits while you put me on a line without safety equipment in a COVID era while four people are sick because you told them they couldn't take a day off? No, I'm not going to go do that. And remember all the signs was like, wanted people who aren't lazy. Remember? You pompous, arrogant, jackass business owners. Oh, God, were you funny. Why won't somebody come here and work? Okay, fine. If you work 50,000 times harder, I might give you $1 extra an hour. But you had better earn it. Oh, God, you pathetic losers. No, the working people of America, and Rick Smith is spot on about one thing. The reason why Minnesota has been spared as opposed to these other states is that, you know, there still is a strong union presence here in the state of Minnesota, and that's why our costs, our incomes are actually up far more than inflation is in the state of Minnesota. It's not the case. You go to some of these states where they annihilated the unions, especially in the southeastern United States. Inflation is way up. But wages, they're not catching up at all. Because when that pompous, arrogant jerk of a business owner said, "Why are all the people lazy?" Basically, the Republicans went out there to try to find ways they could threaten people into going to work for these crap jobs again. So, ta-da, Republicans. Trust them on absolutely nothing. Biden was, by the way, once again, the first time in 100 years... Trump had gone to Duluth for a campaign stop. So he technically had been in Duluth. So Superior, Wisconsin, there hasn't been a president in Superior, Wisconsin in over 100 years. Joe Biden changed that today, made the decaying but vital connector between the ports of Duluth and Superior a cornerstone of his speech in Superior on Wednesday. The first presidential visit to the city in nearly 100 years. Biden, in his first public stop since Tuesday's State of the Union address, highlighted the $1 trillion infrastructure law he signed in November and how it will help the 60-year-old Blatnik Bridge, already operating with load restrictions and in need of truss repair. The law would send about $4.8 billion to Minnesota and an estimated $5.4 billion to Wisconsin for roads and bridges over the next 5 years. The Blatnik Bridge, which the Democratic president visited before the arrival of the University of Wisconsin Superior, is an important link for the region's economy. When the Husky oil refinery exploded in 2018, the bridge was the one many people took to get their families to safety. Biden's visit marked a return to Midwestern outposts. He proved crucial for his electoral victory in 2020 when his strong showing among voters in northwestern Wisconsin helped him defeat former, rotting potato Trump. In 2016, Trump won Democratic historic base, narrowly winning Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. The coming midterms, the Midwestern battleground is shaping up to be no less crucial, and both parties are renewing their campaigns. The region knows the importance of good bridges, said U.S. Senator Amy Klobuchar, who appeared with Biden and other fellow Democrats, Tina Smith, and Tammy Baldwin of Wisconsin. "We will never forget when the 35W bridge fell down in the beautiful summer day in the middle of the Mississippi River. 13 people died," Klobuchar said. "I said that day that bridge should never fall down in the middle of America." Absolutely. That's agreed. And I want to make sure something here because, Pouty McPouty Face. Oh, Stubby. Pete Stubby. Stubber. God. I just get confused sometimes. Pete Stubber. No. Stubby. Stobber. Pete Stobber. Old Stubby up there, he basically threw a temper tantrum and he's like, "I'm not going to go there because I'm enemies with that guy." Mind you, Stubby is already taking credit for the infrastructure bill he voted against. He's taking credit for the bill he proudly voted against because he knows that that he can't sell that his vote anymore up there. But you'd say to yourself, there was a time when a person would come through, it's like, "Yeah, the president's going to be in town. I'll be there." And that same Stubby couldn't put his knee pads on fast enough for Trump. Couldn't put them on fast enough for him. And all of a sudden he's here. It's like, "How dare you try to fix that bridge? That bridge should fall into the water before we take $1 from a Democrat to fix it." Oh, Stobber. You're an absolute jerk. You know that, man? An absolute joke, too. You're just a joke. You know, you're not for your people. You're only for yourself. And that's clear, you clown. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. Why not? Let's do the Minnesota coronavirus update. We can get this done here. Why not? Thursday, COVID-19 update from the Minnesota Department of Health includes 847 newly reported cases, 20 newly reported deaths. The state's COVID-19 death toll now is 12,172. I was at both the gym today and the grocery store today, and I think that in the gym there were more people that were wearing masks. I think outside of employees, I might have been the only person I saw in the entire store not wearing a mask. As a matter of fact, there was one guy, I'm walking down the aisle, and the guy looks at me, and I couldn't quite figure it out. And it's like, well, is there, am I bleeding or something? Why are you staring at me so intently? And he looked at me, and he kind of shook his head as he walked past, and I'm like, are you disapproving of this? I think it was my mask. I think he was just, how dare you wear a mask? Okay, now, I want to make sure you understand something. There are people out there who do have health conditions that require them to wear a mask. So that if you're going to get upset about this and start ripping masks off people left and right, well, I'm not saying he did, but I mean, he clearly was bothered by something. And the only thing I could think of was the mask. I didn't recognize him. It's not like, were he and I lovers? No, that's not it. Did I wrong him? Is there some sort of blood oath here? Is this like first blood? I don't think so. I think it was the mask. So if you're going to get upset about that, you realize there are people that need to wear a mask. And a reminder from yesterday's show, if I can, the Republicans all of a sudden are now, and this is great. They're for funding research for ALS treatments. Absolutely fantastic. 100%. But considering how many people have died of COVID and still dying, the total number of people who will die for the entire year of ALS in Minnesota is somewhere around 80 to 120 people. That's for the entire year. Yesterday in Minnesota, 20 people died of COVID. 20 people died of COVID. Yet Republicans still don't want to give any money to research on COVID. Don't want to give credit to doctors. Don't want to give credit to nurses. They don't want to do those things. I don't think they want to give some, but not much to the nurses and doctors. But the reality is that they have constantly railed against the vaccines. They have constantly railed against science and medicine. They have constantly railed against the medical industry that's been trying to save as many people's lives. And now all of a sudden, when it comes to ALS, all of a sudden we're for scientists finding a cure. We're for hopefully a vaccine. Where are the brave doctors and nurses who stand up there and help people with ALS? I'm like, fine, that's great. That's wonderful. Where the hell has that been? We've had 12,000 people die in this state, for God's sakes. Where is that mentality towards COVID? Donald Trump told us we had to poo-poo all that. And I'm going to, because I'm not going to use my brain at all, because I'm a Republican. I sometimes get off of my tangents, don't I? I do. Back to the Minnesota coronavirus update for today. Once again, 847 newly reported cases, 20 newly reported deaths. The state's COVID-19 death toll now is 12,172. Today's update includes case data that was reported in the 24-hour period ending at 4 a.m. on Wednesday. Minnesota's test positivity rate. You want some good news? How about some good news? The positivity rate on the 7-day rolling average is down to 5.1%. If we get below that five is where kind of you get below that, then the widespread contagion within the community is below a pretty good threshold. So that's, we want to be below five. Hopefully tomorrow the numbers will show that as well. Going back to the May 2nd, the number of people with COVID-19 hospitalized in Minnesota was 490. That's down from 501 reported on March 1st. Once again, that's all the people. It's 490 people. That's all the people that are being treated. Now, it's still a lot of people for one disease. It still is. 490 in an entire state on one thing? Absolutely. But it's definitely a lot easier. Of those hospitalized, 68 people are in intensive care. That's down from 70. 422 are in non-ICU care. That's down from 431. As of March 1st, the state reported that 3,880,308 people have received at least one dose of the COVID-19 vaccine, while 3,662,520 people have completed the vaccine series. The state has administered 2,151,153 third dose booster shots. Total number of people who have been sick in the state of Minnesota, 1,417,015. 1,417,015. I will make the point here. And I understand people are, I'm tired, Matt. I don't want to. I just want this to be over. You can't will this to be over. We've done it that way. We've done it that way, and it's come back and come back hard and smacked us around. Wear a mask. Social distance. If you're not vaccinated, please just get vaccinated. It's breaking my heart even thinking about what we've been talking about, which is some rural community. We'll take Alexandria. Just, you know, nothing against Alexandria. I'm just going to pick a small town. Alexandria. Take Alexandria, and all of a sudden Alexandria has a massive outbreak of COVID. That's what we're going to see. It's not going to affect the neighboring towns as much, but all of a sudden we're going to have to send in specialized medical equipment, you know, put up temporary ICUs because they're going to have a COVID outbreak out there, because those rural parts of the state, that's not where a lot of people are vaccinated. So get vaccinated, please. I'm saying this because I don't want you to die. Now, if you think that that's some sort of challenge, but I want to die. Well, I can't help you there. But I'm not saying this as a Democrat. I'm saying this as a, you know, what I like to believe is a decent Christian human being. I don't want you dead. Go get vaccinated, please. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. The Matt McNeil Show on AM 950. I might have to listen to that. I would love to have asparagus growing all over my yard. Oh, we have it up north at the cabin, but it's way past, you know, it grows in this huge, tall plant. You know, you got to get it when it's small, and that's delicious asparagus love. But, you know, my dad had a story one time. They had grown some asparagus, and they went out, and they've been looking at it. It was looking great. It was coming up. The next day they went out to pick it. The deer had gotten in there and ate every bit of it. I think he might have put a deer stand in the backyard. Let's just put it that way. He was not happy with that. So I'm going to give you a flashback of stories we used to have here in the Twin Cities that we used to, like, wow, okay, this is a big story. We should pay attention to this. We haven't done that for 2 years. I'm going to actually include it in the coronavirus update, even though it has absolutely nothing to do with coronavirus, but as a reminder of what things used to be like, because occasionally a story like this would pop up. And what the district is calling a widespread stomach illness. Oakdale Elementary School in the Eastern Twin Cities Metro was closed on Thursday. The district said the stomach bug was resulted in many staff absences at the elementary school. Friday, March 4th was already a scheduled day off, and the next week is spring break. So they're going to get a full 11 days to recuperate before returning to school on Monday, March 14th. And by the way, let me make sure we also make sure we understand, if you have a kid who comes home with this, gives mom and dad a few days to recover from this as well, because the way these things go, everyone in your house is going to get this one. The illness is not related to COVID-19. Yay! The full message from the district on this one. Due to many staff absences at Oakdale Elementary due to widespread stomach illness, non-COVID related, Oakdale Elementary School will be closed today. There will be no preschool or before after school Adventure Connection. Oh, man, Adventure Connection kicks ass. All right, sorry. If your student has already dropped off for Adventure Connection, they'll need to be picked up immediately this morning. Yeah, I'm sure that was easy to work around. The school closure only impacts Oakdale Elementary. We apologize for any inconvenience this may cause. Sincerely, District 622 Communications, which, by the way, is an outstanding name for a band. Oh, my God. It's District 622 Communications. Oh, man. You can already see the album cover. Get on it, Minneapolis, St. Paul. No, and no, I don't know. The heavy metal band, I don't need District 666 Communications. No. Okay. All right. Speed metal, maybe. But no. We already have Korn. Enough's enough. All right. Now I'm going to get Korn fan angry at me. We have Juggalos. Enough's enough. It's not often I get to pull this chant out, so I, you know, why not? Yay, stomach flu! Yes, it's a good old-fashioned stomach flu. Oh, gosh, don't you remember those good old days where we'd have a school? Well, not for them. I mean, it's you know, don't go too far away from the bathroom. Oh, the good old days when you used to have the stomach bug come through the whole family and you're like this. It wasn't 2 years of, oh, God, are we sick with this or is it something else? Is it COVID or do we need a test? We have to go get tested? Nope, just good old stomach flu. Hey, I've had Arby's. Off you go. Off you go. You heal yourselves up there, campers. You come on back after, you know, a nice spring break, refreshed, maybe a little hungrier, maybe a little lighter. It's the weight loss program we all love. But I mean, we used to have stories like this where we would talk about things like this, or, oh, there's, oh, someone didn't wash their hands before they went and picked lettuce. Uh-oh, that's trouble. You know, it's if there's a sign that we might be actually returning to normal is that we're having what sounds like normal news stories again in regards to school closures. It's not COVID. It's not, oh my gosh, parents screaming about, you have to leave. But that's a good question. Are there any parents who are going to school board meetings saying, open the school, I don't care. Stomach flu is a myth. It magnetizes you if you try to treat this. Did any parents do that? No? Well, good, because they're all freaking hacks. That's why. Hour two, Alan Roy starts up next when we come back for next hour. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. One of the more interesting elements of the redistricting maps is Senate District 2 now, which, and I do love the logic of the judges that were behind this. They said, you know, they're not going to allow the Republicans to dilute the Native American vote by trying to, you know, put the individual tribes and individual voting districts. Now, the Senate District 2, basically, if I'm not mistaken, contains all three of them. And it's going to be a pretty strong contingent of voters. As a matter of fact, I've even seen some people that says that's a lean Democratic district now. And I'm to a point, I'm surprised the Republicans haven't challenged that. But at the same time, I think that because the way that the judges put it out there, I think that they knew that, you know, they would basically be admitting, yeah, we're trying to gerrymander. So it is going to be a district that the Democrats are going to be fighting for. Alan Roy is kind enough to join us right now. He is a DFL endorsed candidate for the second Senate district seat, which runs all the way from Angle Inlet down to, well, how far south does it go there, Alan?
Yeah, thanks for having me on. The district goes all the way from the northwest angle all the way down to the White Earth Reservation. Okay. It touches the north side of Becker County, and it moves over east to Leech Lake Reservation there.
Yeah,
and so it's a pretty big district.
Your thoughts. And by the way, welcome back. We talked to you a few years ago when you were running. Glad you're running again for this seat. Talk a little bit about when this district came to light, that this was going to be the new district. Talk about the response from the Native American population, because obviously now they've got a lot of power up there in this district.
Absolutely. And thank you for having me on again. It's always a pleasure to join you. I would say that the district, the redistricting, you have three tribal nations in the same Senate district, which is unheard of. And quite frankly, you know, me being a tribal council member for the past 4 years, I've developed relationships with these tribes. I know the communities. I know the tribal leaders. I know the folks in the area. And right now, I can tell you, these tribes—they're organized. They got their act together, and they want change, right? And I think we've seen that under Peggy Flanagan and Tim Walz. They've really stepped up to the plate on making sure that we do a great consultation as a state, and to be able to meet the needs of the communities that are up there, both Indian and non-Indian. And so it's going to be a very interesting, a campaign season.
You know, when you were on before, I think you and I chatted about the fact that the Republicans, one of the things that is annoying is they at best give lip service to Native American issues. And the reality here is whoever is going to be holding the seat, you're going to have to deliver. And last I checked, yeah, the Republicans don't deliver too much when it comes to Native American issues. You're going to have to deliver. And I think that, you know, especially as you said, in the last few election cycles, the Native American vote has become one of the big linchpins of this country in voting. And as Absolutely. They become more engaged in this process, you can't just ignore them. And especially as this new district looks, you can't just ignore Native American issues. You're going to have to bring it.
Absolutely. And I can tell you that from firsthand. I know when I campaigned 2 years ago, we fought hard. We organized, and there were community members out in the community that I hadn't seen in years come out of the woodwork, and they were just on the ground organizing. They were getting people to the polls. I think they had a great turnout last year. There was some news stories about it. And I know that this Senate district will be decided by Minnesotans. But it ultimately, you're right. You have to pay attention to that Native vote. You have to address the issues that are facing those tribal nations if you want to have a successful legislator in the state legislature.
For everyone out there, because it has been a few years, why don't we take a few moments right now? Why don't you give a little bit more of a background information? Who exactly is Alan Roy?
Well, I'm a Minnesotan. I am a Native American. I'm Ojibwe. I was born and raised on the White Earth Reservation. I am I'm a reservist, Army reservist. I've been in the reserves for over 10 years now. I've deployed to Operation Iraqi Freedom. And I've been serving as a tribal council member up on the White Earth Reservation for about 4 years. And I really like to get things done. That is my MO. I'm aggressive. I'm very pragmatic. I'm a common sense type of individual. And I talk to everyone. And I'm willing to talk to anyone that's willing to talk about the issues and come up with some common sense solutions.
Thank you for your service, by the way. I do as an Army veteran myself. Thank you very much. I do appreciate it, sir.
Thank you. Thank you.
The district here, where are you? Know, obviously, I'm going to start with broadband, and this is something that I don't care which district you're in the state. We've kind of come to realize that, especially in the modern age, it's not just for watching Netflix anymore. It's you need it for education, you need it for healthcare, you need it for business development here. It is, you know, these rural districts, northern Minnesota, these have been where the lagging districts have been at. We've not been able to get the broadband out there, and we should not have kids having to go to a coffee shop to go do homework. We shouldn't have to have people to drive 30 miles just to get to the nearest telehealth area that they can go to. You know, I think that I imagine that's an issue that's important to you as well up there.
Oh, absolutely. We've been working on that issue for several years now. And fortunately, you know, when they passed the American Rescue Plan, there was provisions within that each of these tribal nations, especially in Senate District 2, we can use some of these funds in order to help build up that broadband infrastructure. There's also some federal legislation that's been passed where tribes can go ahead and target that. And so it's not going to be solved overnight, but it's something that we need to keep a close eye on. You know, as a parent myself, I got 3 school-age children, and I remember during the pandemic, you know, having to do homework. I was fortunate enough to have, you know, that service inside in my home, right? Mm-hmm. But there was other kids out there that didn't have it. And so, you know, when as a tribal council, we made a heavy investment to make sure that we would provide as much support services with our tribal schools on the reservation and out in rural Minnesota. Because without that, it's just going to hurt the children's education. We got a lot of folks, as far as the healthcare system goes, telemedicine. We've been working on a number of applications to make sure that we can provide those services in a timely manner. But it is a barrier. I will admit, it is a barrier if you don't have reliable internet or broadband to be able to get a quality education and to get state-of-the-art healthcare services.
I've often called Republicans weak because when it comes to business development, they will always sacrifice the environment for, you know, corporate interests, even non-U.S.-based corporate interests, as we have seen. There, you know, obviously this is something where going from broadband here, where we talk about not only education and healthcare, but business growth as well, there's a right way to do it where the environment, the land, the air, the water are not sacrificial lambs for the corporate profit model. And yet they're just, it's like I said, the Republicans are lazy because they'll always go for the cheaper. Oh, yeah, sure, we'll just wipe out some forest or we'll wipe out a lake. And they don't care. As long as it's not their lake or their forest, they don't care. There's a way to develop business that is not a way that's an enemy to nature. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. I would agree. You know, when I was on the tribal council here, we passed a resolution and a code. It was called the Rights of Nature for wild rice, you know, otherwise known as Minnesota rice, or as we say in Ojibwe, Manoman. Mm-hmm. And we take that very seriously. We think that, and I do believe, you know, the future of a lot of the energy development that we have in terms of economic development is renewable energies, right? It's these technologies. It's solar. It's wind. It's these new technologies. Even storage right now is becoming pretty hot. And so, I really believe that we can take care of the environment. I think we can run sustainable businesses, but we got to be consistent with it, right? And if we're not, you know, Mother Nature is going to suffer. Our communities are going to suffer, and ultimately, as we say in Ojibwe, the next seven generations are going to suffer.
And that's, and obviously, I'm going to, you know, respect the Native Americans' relations to wild rice and nature every day. I'll say it just as a proud Minnesotan. I mean, I've been to the Washkish Wild Rice Festival. It's magnificent. And you know, the thought of all of a sudden half our water supply being poisoned and we can't grow wild rice, that would be a direct strike into the heart of Minnesotans. It doesn't matter if you're Native American or not. You know, there are some things, walleye, all of a sudden the walleye are all gone because the water's polluted. You can't, there are some things that make Minnesota, Minnesota, and we've got to make sure we preserve those.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
This new district here, I do want to also mention here, I mean, it does have the Native American reservations. It also has Bemidji in it, Bagley's in it, I believe Cass Lake, Deer River. Is most of Deer River in there too?
No, it's just on the cuts border. Right before. Yeah, it's right on the border over there.
Baudette.
Yeah, it does go up to Baudette up there. We've got quite a few cities in there.
Yeah. So obviously one of the things too is what you're going to have to do is you know, the development there of you know, the roadways and making sure things you know, are getting developed there, because obviously once again business can be anywhere now. If we got good broadband, we're working on that. If we can have business anywhere, talk about making sure that the economic growth in those cities you know, maintains, you know, and frankly, gets better, and we can maintain that, you know, positive growth. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, the economy is a huge component to our ability to rebound as a state, as a region, for Bemidji and Manoman and Bagley and Walker and Baudette and you know, the counties that we have there, the reservations that we have there. It's so essential. I know for up here, we've had a lot of folks leave the area. A lot of folks aren't returning to work. And a lot of them, you know, it's about having an affordable wage, right?
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I did when we were on tribal council again, we passed a $16 minimum, $16 an hour per hour minimum wage for every position across the entire tribe. We did not see a decline in our revenues. In fact, our revenues are pretty baseline as to where we were when we first passed it. And so, we got to rebuild it. Mm-hmm. We got to rebuild the economy. I mean, if we do nothing else, a lot of our young folks, they're continuing to leave rural Minnesota. They're heading to other states. They're heading to the Twin Cities. They're heading other places, right? So we have to create those jobs and those opportunities in the area to help retain our folks here.
Yeah, and that's the point, is that you are in one of these districts where there's a lot of people 18 and younger. There's a lot of people that are 60 and older. And there's not a lot of people in between. And, you know, it's about making sure – and I think that that's outstanding. $16 minimum wage, I mean, that's going to bring people into your district. And that's the kind of the mindset you have. And once again, as you're part of the Minnesota Senate. You get down to St. Paul, and I'm hoping we get you down to St. Paul. You're part of that Minnesota Senate, but you're also representing that district. And so good ideas like that, where you're saying, you know what, it doesn't have to be over the top. It just needs to be a common sense, livable wage for this district. We put that into place. You're going to start pulling people from Senate District 1, Senate District 3, all the rest of the districts to come into your district because they can get a good salary there.
Absolutely. We want to attract all kinds of talent. I mean, Bemidji is, in my opinion, it's a world-class city. We've got great folks that live there in all our cities in the Senate District. But, you know, I have a very, very, very soft spot in my heart for Bemidji. A lot of folks love to go there. It is a Minnesota town. And a lot of folks, they come there for the culture, for the people, and they come there for jobs. And if we're continuing to grow that economy, it's just going to make things better for everyone that, that lives there and in the Senate District.
Pound for pound, I think your district's got the best lakes. I mean, as a fisherman, as a person that likes going fishing, your district, the lakes in your district are top-notch.
Well, thank you.
Well, I mean, I've been up on the Big Lake. I've been up on Lake of the Woods. I've been on Red and then on Leech. And, I mean, they're just fantastic. I mean, I'm trying to think to myself, have I ever gone on one of the lakes in your district and not gotten limit? I don't think so. I've actually had great success on your lakes up there.
We love our lakes up here. I tell you, I love fishing with my family and my friends, and we like to go hunting. We got great, you know, hunting land up here as well. And but that Red Lake walleye is something to. It's something else.
Yes,
let me
is.
Tell you, we've got great fishing, really absolutely great fishing up here.
Shore lunch with a walleye, man. That's just as good as it gets. It really is. All right. So the reason why I brought this up, this is called teasing people. Okay. Everyone listening to me in Minneapolis, St. Paul, go help your local Democrat by all means, help them out. But if we're going to take back the Senate, if we're going to hold the House, you need to get out of your comfort zone and you need to get out into outstate Minnesota and help these Democrats. And it's a fantastic district. 2 is fantastic. You can do a day of fishing, go do some door knocking for Alan Roy. It's a great way to do it. You need to get out of the metro area, especially this summer, and go up there, get into Bemidji, get into these communities, door knock, and help the Senate District 2 become that Democratic stronghold in the Northland that it can be. And with Alan Roy, I think that that's an absolute guarantee that it would be. So, we want to send people, Alan, if we want to get people to your campaign site so they can volunteer and donate to your campaign, how do we do that?
You go to my website. It's www.royforsd2.com. That's RoyForsd2.com. You can also find me on Twitter at Alan Roy for Minnesota, AlanRoyForMN. And I got my website on there. You just click contribute. I'm on ActBlue. You can find us there. We've got, if you want to join the campaign, there's also a form you can fill out there. I thank you so much for the opportunity for speaking with you and all our DFLers out there.
Alan, you're proud military. You're Native American and great pride there. Your experience on the council there. You're pro-business. You're pro-environment. My God, you're an absolutely top-notch candidate. Let's get you down to St. Paul. Let's absolutely do that. Alan Roy, Democrat of the day, Senate District 2. Alan, thank you very much. I really appreciate the time, my friend.
Thank you, Miigwech. Have a great evening.
Take care. You too, as well. Alan Roy, Senate District 2. That's a Democratic pickup. But it's only going to be a Democratic pickup if we get off our butts and get up there and help them. So, who wants to go fishing? Like I said, I don't think there's a lake in his district I haven't limited out on. Yay. Okay, I got some plans for this summer. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. I don't know if we necessarily, Patrick, I don't know if we necessarily need to just do this for food, but let's run the, okay, wild rice. This is, you know, and obviously, once again, the Native American relationship to wild rice is something that should be respected by all. I love it too. So wild rice is clearly one of those Minnesota sort of things. Walleye. Do you remember when this town went nuts? When we found out that our walleye that we were being served in restaurants was not walleye, but the Russian equivalent of Xander. Were you here for that?
I don't think so.
Oh my gosh. It was like fisticuffs. It was like Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome out there, man. How dare you? It basically is the same fish. It's a Russian version of a walleye. It's called a Zander, and it's cheaper. And so they were, but they were selling it as walleye. How dare you? Blueberries. Rhubarb? Rhubarb? But I mean, is that really something we, you know, sure, you throw in enough strawberries, you're good with it. Enough sugar. It's a little tight, but lakes. I'll say, you know, the lakes. I mean, that's Minnesota. Sitting on a lake, not having to wonder if there's chemicals in it. That's a nature. I was over at the Holiday gas station on Hopkins Crossroads and Cedar Lake Road, and I was accosted by a turkey. That nature in all of its splendor. The turkey. I love living in a city where I'm at the gas pumps and there's like a turkey next to me. I'm like, oh, how you doing, turkey? And the turkey's like, look, I mean, who's feeding the turkeys in Minnetonka to where they basically have no fear of humans whatsoever at all, at all? They're not as bad as the Northeast Minneapolis turkeys. Those guys are mean, but you still get turkeys. You have nature everywhere. Saw the swans. I was driving past a lake. I saw two swans out in the middle of it. Nature, animals. I wish we could have more moose again. I'd like to see more moose. Moose are nice. They're big, big. Ooh, they're huge. There's a lot of things here that make Minnesota Minnesota, and we shouldn't be willing to sacrifice lakes, walleye, wild rice, animals, just because some corporate giant from Brazil or Canada or China says we should. And yeah, Republicans are weak. They're weak. They can easily be bought off, and they'll sell off, and they'll destroy their own state left and right. Sometimes, occasionally, Democrats are the same way. But I think we've gotten to the point now where it's like, okay, there's a finite amount of nature left on this planet. Let's, as opposed to trying to figure out new and exciting ways to destroy it, maybe, just maybe, we should try to preserve as much of it as possible. 952-946-6205. Ooh, boy. Patrick, you've been circling the calendar. Two separate groups of truckers traveling east under the American Freedom Convoy umbrella are set to cross into and through Minnesota by the end of the week.
How many? Let me. Is there a total of 8 trucks between them? Do we know the numbers on this?
Oh, God. You saw the turnout for the protest of the State of the Union in Washington, D.C. was like 12 people. Oh, God. It was remember the one guy? There was one guy in Rochester. Their grand protest in Rochester was one truck. Beautiful. I don't think you could you even block a road with that? I mean, it's kind of hard to do down there. One convoy leading Minot, North Dakota. Oh, thank God. If we needed anything here in the state of Minnesota, it was a bunch of people from freaking Minot. Great. Well, the Minotians are they're thinking of coming here. They're expected to reach Fargo at about 5 p.m. on Thursday, after which the drivers will head into Minnesota, spend the nights in Sauk Center area. According to a recent updated online schedule, the Friday morning, the group take the Midwest route will continue to 94 to Hudson, Wisconsin. Oh, I bet you they'll be clenching their cabooses once they get through Minneapolis. Oh my God! Oh my God! Metro area! Metro area! Get out of our state.
Maybe they'll just take 694. Yeah, why don't you just
cut across, go to Duluth, and go down from there if you could. All right, just avoid us. Not saying Duluth deserves that either, though. The second convoy, the 90 East route, which started in Tacoma, Washington, should hit Sioux Falls, South Dakota late today. They'll spend the night. The participants will take I-90 across southern Minnesota through Albert Lea to Oakdale, Wisconsin. Organizers have been sharing planned stops around the routes with local champions of these convoys, hoping to show support at the designated truck stops. God, you're just a bunch of pathetic losers, aren't you? And sorry, Mary Lou didn't marry you, but this ain't going to help. Those on the Western Midwest route don't have any planned stops between Sauk Center and Hudson because they're terrified. Well, the 90 group plans to make a stop at Albert Lea around midday. Oh, which I'm presuming they'll consider that urban. That's it for Minnesota stops. Oh, gee willikers. The plan is these convoys will join up with 4 others in Ohio. before they all head to the Washington, D.C. area. I guess they're kind of a little, you know, burning cross rally or something like that. It sounds like there's a lot of Nazis involved in this.
I'm familiar with Oakdale, Wisconsin. There is a Love's Hardee's, and that is all that's there. A Love's truck stop with a Hardee's.
Is it?
That's a real big-time stop that they're going to be
wow.
making.
Wow, Frisco burgers are not bad, though, man. I'm not against a Frisco burger. Like I'm going to go down there for this. No.
Just eat it in front of them, you know. Lewdly.
We'll get a busload of people. We'll go down and just go get a bunch of Frisco burgers and just a just leave them questioning even more. The movement is somehow loosely organized with a few groups claiming the stake in the convoy with its goals. Broadly, however, participants and supporters have decried mandates. Specifically, any public health restrictions that related to COVID. The only federal mandates in place require people to wear face masks in public transportation, including on planes and in airports. I'm not getting the impression this is the airport crowd, though. The Biden administration rule would have required large companies to ensure employees were vaccinated, but that was struck down by the U.S. Supreme Court. So these two convoys of clowns, they're protesting something, but no one knows what they're freaking protesting. They're just, yee, yee. And that's kind of basically, that's, you got it right there. That's it. There's their platform. Biden administration, let's see, former President Trump declared national emergency in March of 2020 as the start of the COVID pandemic. But remember, when he did it, it was okay. They're a bunch of clowns. I'm wondering, where are all those Republicans who were so outraged when the protesters blocked streets? Tell me where the evil Antifa touched you. Where are all you Republicans who are insisting it doesn't matter if it would be a Democrat or a Republican if you are blocking the road, I'd be against it. Where are you? Are you sprinting out to the front of this to hope you can get a picture with your buddies as they go out and spread freedom in Washington, D.C.? Nope. You know, all of a sudden, the same clowns who, when it was people in Minneapolis protesting, murdering cops, now all of a sudden, those people, hey, you know, there were even Republicans out there saying, ram into them and then pull over two blocks and call the cops and say, you were scared. Actually encouraging killing people with a car. There were some Republicans that were doing that. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. But today it's like, are you going to go out there and say, you know what? Nope. Hey, equal time. I'm not going to all of a sudden forget my morality and my stances. I'm going to be consistent. Are you going to be like that? No, you're not. And like I said, I bet you most of you are trying to run down to Albert Lee or Sauk Center, Sauk Rapids or Sauk Center. Sauk Center. You're probably running up there. It's like, take a picture with me. I want to put it on my Facebook page. I want to put it on my Twitter. Oh, I love you so much. Oh, you guys are a bunch of clowns, man. You guys are a bunch of clowns. But hey, oh boy, look out, Albert Lee. Look out, Sauk Center. They're coming. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. Hey, speaking of mocking Republicans, I get to do that more of that coming up after the break. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. By the way, the Rick Smith interview and the Alan Roy interview, we'll have them on Spotlight a little bit later on. Top notch, just top notch. Now, I'm going to preface this next story with a fact. This is a fact. This is not something that's rigged. This is not something that's an exaggeration. It's something that's actually publicly well known. You can always homeschool your kids. You can. There's nothing that stops you. My sister-in-law homeschooled her two kids. They're both fantastic. As a matter of fact, both of them, I think, got scholarships. You know, you can homeschool your children. You can. You don't like the school district you're in. You don't want to open enroll into a different school district. You can homeschool your kids. As a matter of fact, you've never had more choices as far as education in the state of Minnesota as you have right now. You can homeschool your kids. Now, you can say to yourself, well, I can't do that because we got to do a job. Okay, fine. You're a single parent or the home, you know, the breadwinner there. I can understand it. But that has always been an option if you do not like the school district you're in. Or, I know, this is going to blow your freaking mind. You can move. I know. You can move. You can move to a different school district, one that you do like. See? Simple. These are facts. These are what's called facts. You can homeschool your child. You can move into a school district of your choice. You can open enroll into a different school district. You can go to a charter school if you so choose. I wouldn't, because generally charter schools score a lot lower than the public schools. Don't give me the, well, there's this one charter school. I'm fine. Okay, one or two. But overall, worse. Needless to say, you have a lot of choices out there. That's why this entire bill, this entire attempt by the startled hen house that is the Senate Republicans is just a freaking hoot. It's just a hoot. The Senate is poised to pass a slate of bills Thursday that supporters say will strengthen parents' influence over their child's education, and opponents argue is unnecessary and potential harmful to LGBTQ youth. Now, once again, the most you already have on the table the ultimate strength of a parent's decision. They can homeschool their child. You can have complete and total control over your child's education. Complete and total. That's legal right now. You can do that. So all this stuff is unnecessary. It is 100% unnecessary. But here we are, because this isn't education policy. This is vote for us policy. Senate Republicans have made the proposed Parents' Bill of Rights priority this session, joining conservatives more than a dozen states with, once again, an idea that did not come from them, but they have taken gleefully because this is the marching orders they get, probably from a private company that gets into public education that can make a lot of money. That would be probably my guess. They often want to keep topics related to race, topics of race, gender, and sexuality out of classroom materials. In Minnesota, the GOP has pitched the package of bills, which governs curriculum access, teachers' duties, and share student information in public comment, school board meetings, as common sense legislation aimed at increasing transparency and parent engagement. Once again, if I may, common sense legislation is not needed because any parent can pull their child out of the school district and homeschool their child. Sorry if you're too lazy to do that, but yeah, it is an option. You can do that. You can homeschool your child. You can. You don't need to fix anything. You can just homeschool your kids. Ta-da! I think the end result, we find that every school will get better, said Paul Gazelka, lying his ass off about these bills. I added that last little bit in there because I'm a jokester. It's a joke. Gazelka's horrible. Midnight Oil is just, ugh. They're going to be a far better reflection of the families in the area. White families. Can I put white in there, Paul? I don't know. I think you miss white families. It's just white families, white straight families. It seems like that's the... That might be missing in there. I don't know. I don't know. I'm just asking, Paul, if that should be in there. Minnesota Democrats and the teachers' unions oppose the bills, arguing they're too burdensome for teachers. They also are bills are unneeded because Minnesota has laws empowering parents to review classroom materials, request alternative instruction if they object to content. So there's that, too. You know, that once again, they're just basically doing something we already do. Advocates have raised concerns about the negative effects on LGBTQ students as well, citing fears that one bill could be interpreted as requiring teachers to out students to their parents, potentially creating unsafe situations for students at home, which is something that's very common. That's the Republicans, like, your teachers have to go out there and out that child. You go tell them. Personal freedom does not matter at all for the Republicans, does it? Nope. Here's the hoot. Now, reminder, what has been the Republican rallying cry for the last about six, seven years? Stop with the unfunded mandates, right? You know, that's Republicans. Don't give us unfunded mandates. Mandates are bad. That's Republicans. None of the bills appropriated money to defray costs of implementing them, meaning they're all unfunded mandates. Step back for a quick second. We have a massive budget surplus, and not one of these bills covers its own cost. Not one person says, you know what, I'm going to need about $1 million off of that massive pile of budget surplus. I need about $1 million for this bill. Nope. The same political party who has screamed about mandates, who have screamed about unfunded mandates, who basically have a budget surplus, are now all of a sudden big advocates for unfunded mandates, even with a budget surplus. Wow, they're idiots. A GOP spokesperson did not respond to a request for comment about the bill from the bill's authors. They don't want to talk about that. The Minnesota bills are part of a wave of GOP curriculum on parents' rights bill, blah, blah, blah. Once again, any parent in the state of Minnesota, if you're not satisfied with your school district, can homeschool their child. Absolutely. And control the entire curriculum that their child will learn. They can. They have to meet standards. But every parent in Minnesota, as we speak, can homeschool their child. Problem solved. Here you go. Here are the four bills. This is just hilarious. Gozelka's bill requires school to share classroom materials with parents without cost and immediately upon request. So, wait, when you say immediately upon request, so if a teacher is teaching a classroom and a deranged, drunken Republican kicks open the door and says, I want the materials now! All right. Are you saying that by your law, Paul, that the teacher's got to say, hey, kids, drunken Republican parent is here. I got to stop this. I've got to go get what they want right away. Because that would not seem to me to be something that's going to make a better classroom environment, having drunken Republican parent kick open the door. I want the materials now. I don't think how is that going to make school better, Paul? You said these bills are going to make school better. I don't think that's going to make school better. It sounds like school's going to be a lot worse. A lot of crying kids, a lot of disrupted days. Yeah, it sounds like it's going to do a lot of damage to schools. A bill from, and by the way, once again, it should be noted that there is already laws on the books here that say that a parent can get the classroom materials. Allows parents to review classroom materials and request alternative instruction if they object to the content. So the only thing about this bill that seems to be there is immediate, which means Paul Gazelka wants drunken Republican parent to kick open the door and say, I want to immediately have this. And you have to, kids, I got to stop the class. I've got to take care of a drunken Republican parent over here. A bill from Senator Michelle Benson of Ham Lake. Oh, a lake of ham. Oh, delicious. Who's also running for governor, mandating that teachers post a syllabus for each class with instruction plans for the school year and update it if the plans change. Now, Michelle, I've got three kids. They all got a syllabus. Teachers told us what they were going to happen, and if something did happen, they did update the plans change. This goes on already that you don't need to. This seems like a waste of. Why are you wasting time? This is something, you know, maybe are your Ham Lake schools? Do they suck? Is that what you're saying, Michelle Benson? You know, Michelle, maybe you should move out of Ham Lake. You know, if your schools suck that bad, because all my kids' schools, I'm in the Hopkins district. It's fantastic. All my kids' schools at the beginning of the school year, there was a syllabus. If there was changes to the syllabus, they told us about it. That's just called parenting. You talk to your teacher. The teacher talks back to you. I get emails all the time. There's a parent portal. I mean, you get all this information. are your schools in Ham Lake, Michelle, that bad that they're just not doing that? Maybe you should move to a more Democratic district because the schools there seem to be better. That's just me. Nothing against the fine teachers of Ham Lake, but you get my point. A bill from Senator Justin Ahern of Grand Rapids. Sorry. I always just love saying Senator Justin Ahern. Stating the parents have a fundamental right to direct the upbringing, education, and care of their children. Now, okay, now this is just vague enough to be an absolute freaking disaster. Parents have a fundamental right to direct the upbringing, education, and care of their children. So what are you talking about, Ahern? Are you talking about parents can kick open the door of the classroom and say, I'm going to tell you what you're teaching now. We're going to teach about how Ronald Reagan was the best president of all time. Ma'am, this is a math class. We're teaching 2 + 2 = 4. This is not about, don't you dare. I, because of Justin Ahern, have the ability to direct the upbringing, education, and care of our children. So children, get your math books off the table and start worshiping Ronald Reagan. That's courtesy of Justin Ahern. I'm just reading your bills, dude. I'm just reading your bills. These are your bills. Once again, if you don't like your school district, you can homeschool your child in the state of Minnesota. We make it easy. They got pamphlets and books, all sorts of things. Tell you exactly what you need. You can even play sports on the high school sports in your area. You can do all that. Finally, from Raj Chamberlain. Yes, that Raj. A proposal that bar school boards from requiring testifiers to give their names and addresses during public comment. Because nothing screams legitimate public comment than I'm doing this anonymously. Raj, public school board meetings are not supposed to be the comment section on your favorite Pornhub site, okay? Fox News. That's Fox News, Raj. Sorry. Fox News. They're all websites. They have a comment section. OnlyFans. Well, I don't know where you like to anonymously comment. I have no idea. I have no idea where Roger Chamberlain likes to go online and make anonymous comments. I have no idea. But you're not, that's the online world, dude. You're not supposed to have that in there. And what this seems like to me, Raj, is what you're trying to do is make it to where you can have these touring groups of Republicans from, say, Oklahoma that can come roaming up here and saying, I'm a concerned parent. Yeah, a concerned parent from Oklahoma that knows nothing of the district. That's what that seems to be like. And so are you trying to onion and orchids this thing, dude? To where you're just basically saying, yeah, people have the ability, you have to give them a mask. You have to alter their voice so they don't have to be known. Yeah, that's what you have to do.
I'm here to tell you why I disagree with Salisbury steak in the lunch line.
Oh, it's delicious. Did you ever remember this? You remember the Salisbury steak in the lunch line? Delicious.
Yeah, that was a perfect masked voice imitation. I'm almost going to take credit and say I did that myself with the soundboard that I played a distorter to distort your voice.
We'll do that. We'll come if you come on in here. Because once again, Rod Chamberlain wants school board meetings to be like anonymous forums on a Fox News story.
Let me tell you what I think about this news story.
Yes. There you go.
Arby's roast beef comment about the school board policy.
Here's one from
Beef and Cheddar 69. Just refer to me as Beef and Cheddar 69. I want to tell you why. I'm going to hunt all you down and kill all your kids for daring to put a mask mandate in the school. Once again, Beef and Cheddar 69.
If there isn't a Twitter account for Beef and Cheddar 69, there should be one by the end of this show. 952-946-6205. By the way, all you Republicans, you're freaking idiots. I just picked apart all your bills. There's massive holes. They're all worthless. And once again, anyone in the state of Minnesota that doesn't like their school can homeschool their child. Problem solved. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll be back with more of Beef and Cheddar 69 in just a moment. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. Funny story, too, by these four Republicans. When they keep getting asked about the details of their bills, they don't know them. I mean, they don't. Chamberlain doesn't know it. Eichhorn doesn't know it. You know, Benson doesn't know it. Gazelle, they don't know what's in their bills because you're now getting in the weeds when anyone asks them to basically explain their bill. You're getting in the weeds. No, dude, it is the weeds. Eichhorn, we're getting a little far ahead of what the bill actually does when people ask, well, what about this bill's going to do? They don't know what these bills do. And I just picked them apart myself. I just picked apart their bills. They're a disaster. I'm going to go back to anonymous voice.
Hello, my name is Beef and Cheddar 69. I have come to the White Bear Lake School District School Board meeting to ask the question of why the drama teacher will not go on a date with me. You can't ask my name. You can't ask where I live. I just want an answer. I immediately demand an answer. You will bow down to Beef and Cheddar 69. You will all bow down to Beef and Cheddar 69.
Well, I mean, if you have a beef and cheddar, you're all going to be bending. You're going to be bowing over at some point. Trust me. Delicious. How dare you, Patrick? Those are delicious. They are the tangy cheese. Is it cheese? Okay, whatever it is. It's phenomenal. Boy. Food.
Especially you drizzle some of that Arby's sauce.
Oh, Arby's sauce. Oh, yeah. Little horse. Do they still have the horsey sauce?
Yeah, they do.
Oh, yes. Delicious. Potato triangles, man. Potato triangles.
They don't have those anymore.
Okay, that's it. Okay, now we're done.
I know, right? That made me pretty sad.
Hello, my name is Beef and Cheddar 69 once again. I have come to the St. Louis Park School Board meeting to demand that Arby's bring back potato triangles. You can't ask my name and my where I live. I'm just Beef and Cheddar 69. Where are the potato triangles? The school is limiting my ability for freedom.
I have a feeling Beef and Cheddar 69 is going to show up a lot. Well, this bill's not going to pass. Let's face it. First of all, your bills are just garbage. I'm sorry. You took a bill from someone in some other state, erased their name, put your name in there. You don't even know what's in them. They're a joke anyway. The Democrats in the House are not going to laugh at these bills when Republicans try to bring them up. And at the end of the day, I want to remind every parent, if you don't like your school district, you can open enroll, you can go to a charter school, or you can already homeschool your kid. So all of these unfunded mandates are unnecessary. Native Roots Radio is up next. Have a good one. Until tomorrow, see ya.